Welcome back, warriors and supporters. Welcome to our third episode of CWF Presents CRPS RSD is Real.
This week is going to be a little bit different. As many of you know, the weather has not been so kind to those on the West Coast. And we all know how unpredictable CRPS can be. And something like the weather can significantly impact a warrior. So due to that unpredictability that comes with this disease and the unpredictability of the weather that has been out of pocket, Danielle was not able to host this episode. However, our amazing events assistant, Jen, graciously volunteered to make her debut as a podcast host this week and step in for Danielle. Jen is going to speak with our resource, Quinn, who is a life coach. We're going to get to hear Quinn's life story and what motivated him to become a life coach, how he learned about CRPS and became a resource for the foundation. And we're also going to answer that big question. What exactly is a life coach? What do they do? What makes them different from a therapist? So without any further ado, let's dive into episode 3.
First and foremost, I would like to say thank you so much for joining us. I think we would start off by, telling us a little bit about yourself and what path caused you to become a life coach. I think that's what I'm really interested in into knowing, and I'm excited, to be honest.
Well, I've been a coach and a mentor and a teacher pretty much all of my life and a good portion of my career. I actually started in the IT field with my career. And part of that was teaching end user applications. And then it went on to teaching Microsoft networking classes and things along those lines. And 10 years of teaching, I enjoyed that just thoroughly, being able to help people grow, learn, see that light go off above their head as they came up with a new idea. And as I evolved in my career, I went into becoming a manager and a mentor and helping those young people working for me actually grow in their careers and things along those lines. And I enjoyed that. Being in the service of other people has always been a part of who I am. Life happened along the lines, and I have a son who has special needs. And around his 18th birthday, his special needs behavior became violent. My wife at the time couldn't deal with it. He was getting too violent for her. His violent episodes were outbursts that happened to the bus driver, to a teacher, to a random stranger, and things along those lines. And so she says, you know, we can't do this. I can't do this. I need you to stay home and help me take care of him because I can't do this on my own anymore. I basically semi-retired from IT. And I said, well, okay, I'm home. I'm taking care of my son. And we had some life changes. And just prior to COVID happening, my wife actually got sick, and her illness was something that some people couldn't figure out what it was. They asked about fibromyalgia. They checked into this, that, and the other thing. We went through so many doctors and so many doctor's visits and tests. We tested everything from, you know, blood to fecal multiple times over again, trying to diagnose what's going on. You know, eventually led to, you know, her having her thyroid looked at and finding that there was cancer in there, and then having it removed, and then never being able to get it settled on a medicine because everything she ate was causing her pain. Dozens of trips to the ER where the ER doctors would say, we can't find anything wrong with you. There's nothing notable at this point. Here's something to take for your symptoms. Go home.
Yeah.
Go see your primary care physician. I mean, I have a Tupperware of, you know, of tests and doctor's results and things like that, you know, led to nothing in essence until about a week before she died, when they finally found that she had 2 strains of Lyme disease. But at that point, her heart was already giving out. She just didn't have the strength to go on. She had lost 50 pounds in, you know, less than a year. And as a person only 5'2", that's a lot of weight to be losing, to give a visual. And
yeah, absolutely. That's quite a bit.
Yeah. And so that, you know, that led to me, you know, needing to take care of him and handle him because she eventually, that pain led her to taking her own life. With that, I, you know, became A single dad taking care of, this at the time 20 to 21 year old boy. And his violence didn't go away. And so finally I went to see a psychiatrist with him and, explained the symptoms to him, to the doctor, and then even went to a second one, and both of them came back and said that my son has schizophrenia. You know, so during all of these several years, I'm not working. I'm taking care of my son. My son is my job. My wife's illness was my job. It was what I did. But his violence continued to get worse and worse and worse, and it was affecting everybody in my family, strangers. There's a time he threw a phone, his cell phone, and hit some old guy in the back of the head at the DMV, and things along those lines. And so that behavior led me to eventually putting him into an assisted living residence. And so that's where he's at this point. And I was out of a job.
But it takes such strength to ask for help, understanding that you cannot do it alone. And especially after losing your wife, you get so used to being that strength for them. And now you're having to push even more for your son because he can't do it for himself.
Yeah, well, there's so much that goes with that. There's the intellectual understanding that I did the right thing, but there's the emotional part that isn't intellectual, and the guilt that goes with that, the anguish that goes with having made those decisions, coming up to making those decisions and things along those lines. It was tough to do, but I understood that it was the right thing to do. And that all led to me going out and doing something different. So I eventually decided it was time to get out and date. And I met the woman that I would now call my wife, but she's the one that helped me get into coaching and isolate that. Because as I said earlier, I'm out of a job, I'm no longer taking care of somebody sick. I'm no longer taking care of my son, and I don't like being idle. And so I wanted to do something else.
Yeah.
I said, I could always get back into IT. I could do that. I could do project management. I could do this, that, and the other thing. And my wife, she says to me, you keep saying the word I could do. I don't ever hear you saying I want to do. It was true. It was like, yeah, I could do it, but it's not like I want to do this. And my wife has a 19-year-old son and his friends, and I'm coaching them. They're coming to me with their problems and their ideas of what they should be doing. And I was 19 once. I know nobody can tell you to do anything when you're 19 years old, but I would coach them. I'd ask them, well, what do you think you should do? What do you have available to work on? And she says, those are good coaching questions. Have you ever thought about becoming a life coach? And I said,
Some people just naturally have it, that confidence and then that belief. I think that's, it's so hard to find that rawness, because you've gone through so many trials and you're finding what tools worked for you. And now you're wanting to share those tools. So I'm excited to hear more. I think the biggest question that is commonly asked, what is the difference between a life coach and a licensed therapist?
The difference between a life coach and a therapist. The therapists themselves really want to spend the majority of their time digging into the root of the problem. And when they go in and they're looking at the root of the problem, they spend a lot of time talking about that and exploring the feelings about that and how it all came around and the why of where it came from. And I think that's a tremendous work and it's great work. But if you want to move forward and actually actionable steps for moving forward, see a life coach.
Yeah, it's inside tools and training. You're not only helping us achieve things that we don't think that are achievable, but also I think it's really impressive on how you're doing that. I want to keep talking, but I'm a person that will go on for days. So I'm trying really hard not to do that. So what brought you to the foundation and how did you learn about CRPS in general?
So actually, I learned about it through your founder, and she's actually a member of my BNI organization. What we do is we do these one-to-ones where we get to know each other as a part of the organization. And so while her and I were talking, I started explaining how when my wife had been ill and nobody could diagnose it, we were going down the fibromyalgia path and how nobody could actually tell her what it was that was causing her pain and how she was sent away after time after time. And so I asked her, what are some of the symptoms? like, because if I can understand some of the symptoms, I could at least recall what they were for my wife. And so after talking about that with her, I did understand that they weren't the same. My wife didn't have CRPS, but it doesn't make it any less important to me. You know, is the fact that you have people that are going through something that so many doctors are making you feel is invalid and not real, and it's in your head because they don't have a way to test it and understand it, because they don't understand that, because it's not their area of expertise. And I've been there. I've supported my wife through all of those crushing conversations with every single one of the doctors moving forward, as they said, I can't help you. I can't help you. I don't know what to do. And so I get it. I get where the pain and the frustration, and I mean the mental pain and frustration, come from for the CRPS warriors.
Yeah, I think it's being told there's nothing wrong when you're truly feeling that there is something wrong. And some of us don't have that courage to push and say, hey, this is not right. I don't feel like I'm being listened to. It's amazing how we can talk to each other and go through something similar and have empathy for each other, because it's a never-ending battle that all of us are going through. That's how you've come to the podcast. And now we're getting to know a little bit more in depth of what you do and the light that you're bringing to others, and you're still able to give. I think that's big. How do you find that motivation?
Yeah, I was hoping you'd come back to that. You mentioned it earlier that I've been through so many things that other people haven't been through. I don't feel like I've been through anything different than other people have had. You know, my wife committing suicide, lots of people have been there. My son being diagnosed with autism, lots of people have been there. Type 1 diabetes, been there. Schizophrenia, other people have been there. So I don't know that I've experienced things that other people haven't experienced. But what I feel like I have been able to do throughout all of this is still stay a positive person, still see the good and not hang on to the bad. That outlook and the ability for us as human beings to take where we're at and rise above it and move on and push forward and persevere, I think is the thing that I really like to bring to what I'm doing and why I want to coach and why I want to help people. After my wife had committed suicide, I could have curled up into a bottle and stayed there. Yes, I curled up into a bottle for a while and I was scared. And the one thing that I knew that I wanted to do when I entered into this relationship with my now wife was I didn't want to go back to exactly who I was in my marriage. And it was allowing me to reset myself back to who I was when I was much younger. When you're younger, you're full of life, you're full of ideas, you're full of the possibilities. And so I allowed myself to go back to that. You know, the psychology of working with people, dealing with, you know, people's emotions and transpersonal psychology and interpersonal psychology were things that were very fascinating to me when I was younger. And I decided I wanted to get back into that and work with that and be able to help people see their potential and their possibilities. And that's why I dive into coaching. That's why I jump in and I want to see how can I help.
And I think that's very beneficial. In what way do you feel everyday people benefit in having a life coach?
An unbiased sounding board is the biggest benefit that you have. As a coach talking to a client, I'm not going to spare your feelings just to spare your feelings. And I want to be able to help you find your solution so you can move on.
That's exactly what we need sometimes, is that little bit of push or that little bit of confidence in ourselves. For us CRPS warriors, everyday tasks are hard. Everyday tasks are not really achievable every day. What would you say is an achievable goal for people looking into the new year and, you know, preparing themselves for 2024?
An achievable goal. It really is tough to say that as an umbrella statement, but I'll give you something. It's probably something that I say to most everybody that I possibly can. These two things. One is every single day, look for something beautiful and take a picture of it. Whatever that is, whether it's a landscape, whether it's a mother and a child, whether it's a dog playing with a bone, whatever it is, take a picture of it. Find that one beautiful thing every single day. And if you could do that once a day just to get started, that's awesome. If you could do that 5 and 10 times a day, that's amazing. And if you can share it with somebody else and get them to play the game with you, wow, that is just freaking awesome as far as being able to do that. By being able to retrain your brain to see the positive things and the beautiful things, it'll allow you to spend less time in the dark areas of your brain. And you're retraining yourself, and that's an achievable goal. Start with just one beautiful thing and one beautiful picture.
That sounds great. I think it's definitely doable.
And if I can do that for anybody to help them get going, that's part of the mission of being on this planet for me. So you decided you wanted to own a home. I think that's a great start. You have an idea. For you, what does owning a home look like for you? Let's coach right now.
Okay. I think owning a home for me would be stability, knowing that I have a home to go home to.
Okay. Stability and a home to go home to. All right. Describe this home that you want to have. What does this look like to you? What works for your family?
I would say somewhere that's close to a school. Each child would have a room. I have 2 wonderful boys. I have 2 dogs. So having a yard, basically, I think my biggest thing would having it in a safe area and being cost effective.
So you mentioned a lot of things here, and that's fantastic that you have these things in mind. In the list of things that you want out of a house, have you created a list of needs versus wants?
No, I don't think I actually have. I think the most needed is an affordable monthly bill and making sure that it's comfortable enough for a family of 4 to live in. I think that's the most realistic.
Well, this is great. Well, earlier in our conversation, you mentioned that you want stability in the place that you're living, and you want safety, and you want to be able to have a place where your family can be comfortable. And owning a home, that is a method of doing that. Are there other methods that you could think of for creating a stable environment for your family?
Yeah, I think structure, you know, just making sure you're maintaining a routine and structure, making sure our health is well.
To me, that's the amazing stability of building a family. And I think that you sound like you have that already. One of the things that I, if you don't mind me sharing with you, that I learned very early in life, kids, especially preteens, they don't know anything about what your house is too big or too small or not this, not that enough or what have you, more so than you do. What they feel is the love of the parents and the stability that you bring in the house, the emotion that you have. I believe, I don't know, but I believe you heard the phrase, home is where the heart is. And in that phrase, most people don't recognize it's your heart that makes it a home, not a mortgage.
I think we tend to forget that. I think you're making me view things a little different by this conversation.
You're feeling exactly what a coach is supposed to be doing. What you're feeling right now is when a coach is doing what he's supposed to do and seeing things in a slightly different light.
CRPS can be very debilitating, and it could be a little stressful, or we might feel like I myself might feel that I cannot achieve things at this time because I'm not 100%.
Warriors, this totally applies. Please never share it with your children. When you wake up in the morning and you feel like you're only 50%, but you still gave it everything that you had, didn't you really give 100%?
Yeah, absolutely, because you gave what you could.
What happens is we set expectations for ourselves of what 100% is supposed to be, and we're supposed to meet that rigid number of 100% every single day. And when you're hit with something like CRPS, and you don't know what the day is going to hold, you still have this expectation of who you used to be and that you should be there every single time. But this morning, I'm waking up and I'm only at 50%, not at 100% of who I imagined I used to be. And so being able to give yourself the grace to understand that, well, whatever today is, I'm going to give it what I've got. And if I can meet the expectations of my day to day and what I plan for today, then that's great. But hanging on and mourning the relationship and the expectation of who you were versus who you are today is one of, I think, the biggest problems that people with illnesses run into. And so we constantly are mourning our expectations of ourselves. And if we can learn to adjust our expectations on a day-to-day basis of who we are and what we're capable of doing, then we can become more flexible and achieve better things and keep a more positive outlook. Because anytime that we set a goal up at 100% and we only get 90%, we have to go, eh, it was good enough, or dang, I sucked, I didn't do well at all. And then you have this hit to your ego. But if you just say, I'm going to come and do my best today, that's an easy goal to achieve. I'm just going to do my best today. And if you did that, when you go to bed, you go, I'm good. I got my 100%. I did my best today.
What tools do you think that we should build to be able to tell ourselves, hey, it's okay not to do that today? Or, hey, it's okay that I'm needing to give myself that 40% and not hitting that 100%, even though I really want to hit that 100%. Because that's what it is. It's we're really wanting to, but our body is telling us is completely different than what our mind wants to do. What would be a tool that we can take today and try to use it on a normal day for limitations?
Tool to use. Okay.
Sorry, no, that might be a hard one. But I think this is very beneficial because it's going to help me too. Every other day for CRPS warriors, we really don't know what day it's going to bring.
This is difficult, but I think I have it at this point, is okay. That you hear this one word being used so often, and the word itself, you hear that a lawyer has a private practice. A doctor is practicing medicine. I'm going to practice my sports. I'm going to practice. The word practice means is that there's always room for improvement. And we live life every single day as if we have a final exam that we have to get to 100% on. But if you can adopt the mindset that every single moment that you are alive, you are practicing being alive. You are practicing living. You are practicing doing your best. And if you continue to practice doing your best, you eventually get better at that. You practice and practice and practice and practice. Just showing up and not practicing, yeah, you get a participation trophy. When you practice to do your best, you do better. You grow more. People around you learn from you. They're inspired by you. And these things, but you take the whole mindset of everything that you do as life is a practice. And so if you can put your mindset as a tool that I'm going to practice having my best life today. If you don't succeed, it's okay, because it was just a practice.
Yeah, that's really great. I really like that. Thank you for that. I think I definitely needed to hear that myself. I think that's the hardest thing, is knowing that it's okay to have that limitation, and it's okay to achieve even the smaller goals throughout the day. Now, I know that you help with, you know, personal development. What personal development would you say you touch on?
Personal development can be just about anything that you're dealing with. The nice thing about being, you know, a 50 plus year old guy, I've lived a lot. I have made a ton of mistakes. The one thing that I like to think is that every mistake and every left turn that I've ever made and every wrong turn that I've ever made has gotten me to be the person that I still like who I see when I'm looking in the mirror. Am I perfect? No. Do I have flaws? Way, way many. But I'm always trying to be a good human being, and I'm always trying to help people out. And so with the personal development of people, I want to help in any and every category that I possibly can. And so, you know, my desire for personal development and opening up people's minds, I don't really have a limit on where I want to play and what I can do and what I'm good with. But I will tell you, if you're going into a subject that I can't do, I'll tell you right up front. If
yeah,
it's outside
your yeah.
skill set, I'll let you know. You're not the right person for you. Somebody else is.
Great. I think that's the most important thing, is what that gray area of that limit is. A life coach is not a business coach. A life coach is not your best friend, because your best friend is going to tell you, hey, it's okay. You know, you don't have to do that.
You're right. As a life coach, I'm not your friend. Yes, I'm a professional, but personal life coach means that I'm here for your individual personal development in whatever areas are currently difficult for you. And my job is to ask you questions that raise your awareness, uncover things that have been buried, that are tools that you've had forgotten about, or maybe make you think about or create even new ideas, whatever that might be, and hopefully give you a perspective that allows you to be creative and move forward in whatever it is that you're currently working on until that next hard thing comes along. And then I'm there again.
With your professional development, I know that there's many different ways that you can go about it. I guess give me a little bit of an insight, coach me on this incident. I'm an animal control officer. And my whole life, I've only wanted to be an animal control officer. I'm going from animal control into a finance position. People there are at 100%. I'm going in, say, maybe 50 to 60% on a good day. What tools do you think would be beneficial?
One thing that I'll point out that you said was you're going in there 60%. Your 60%, as far as they know, that is your 100%. So go in and give that 60% because that's your 100%, right? So
yeah.
they won't know the difference in that perspective. The tools that you want to start working with are going to need to unfold a little bit more with some conversation about what's available, what's your background, and things along those lines. I'm guessing based off of what you're saying, and correct me where I'm wrong, is in animal control, you were out in the field, and now you're going into the office. And so the skill sets of where you're dealing with the animals, now you're into an office environment where you have to deal with office politics and expectations and things along those lines, right?
Yes.
As you're looking at this, you're going to have to start coming at things with a very open mind. They've moved you there because they understand your value as an employee, learning about the new environment and unlearning your old environment are the two things that you work on as you're moving forward with this.
It's great to hear different tools that I didn't even think of myself, or a different spotlight that you're giving a situation that I'm currently going through and others like me go through, because we're having to adapt. We're having to change our careers that we worked so hard for because we can't go back to them anymore. Thank you for that insight. I think the only other question I have is, what's the most important thing you want a warrior to know or take away from this?
You don't have to do this alone. I don't have to be your coach, but get somebody to be your coach, whoever it is. Get somebody to be there for you.
Everything that you've gone through, and I'm very thankful and very truly blessed that you shared and you felt comfortable enough to share your hurt, because now you're sharing your next chapter of life. I think we need a little bit of happiness here and there, especially when things are really dark. And I want to thank you, Quinn, for being here with us today and sharing everything that you have shared. It was great and honestly motivational conversation. Thank you for that belief and strength you carry and your willingness to share and help others. I look forward to hopefully having you back on the podcast.
Okay.
I'm very thankful for the great conversation we had today.
Thank you so much, Quinn, for taking the time to meet with us and share your story and let us know how you as a life coach can benefit the life of anybody and a warrior. And Jen, thank you again so much for being willing to stand in for Danielle this week. If you'd like to learn more about Quinn or get in touch with him, please look on our website under our resource tab. For all the warriors out there, I wanted to remind everybody that we are having a Conqueror Challenge in which you can join our CEO and founder, Deb, on a virtual trip across the legendary Route 66. Every step you take counts. We can celebrate the small victories together. Once you complete the challenge, you get an amazing medal to remind you that no matter what is going on, you can make a difference. You can do things. You're important. You can apply for that by visiting our website under the events tab. All applications must be in by the 18th. To support us, you can text CWF podcast, all caps, no spaces, 253-555. And we invite you back on March 1st. We will have our special guest, Dr. Gloria Kambaga, that day. And we'll get to hear from her what treatments she uses on CRPS warriors and benefits of those. So join us again on the 1st. To all the warriors out there, stay strong.